Blog Talk Radio.
Hello?
You're listening to Life, Love, and Wellness, The Sandy Rogers Show. The views and comments of this show are not necessarily the views held by the network itself. Please use discretion when tuning in. Thank you.
Ms. Rogers? Ms. Rogers? This is not going so well. She called me and said I had the right number at 5 minutes to six. And they played some music and it's what you hear now.
The music?
Nothing.
No.
Ms. Rogers?
Hello?
Can anyone hear me?
Can you hear me?
I can hear you, but on the on the regular dial, I just hit one to call in. On the regular 516, I don't hear anything.
On the regular 513 number? I don't know. I just kept saying hello, hello. I thought you couldn't hear me. I'm glad you can. If I press one now, I guess that's what unlocked, made you be able to hear me. But are you one of the people, are you one of the mentors that's supposed to be on the call with her?
Yeah, my name is David Richardson from The Motivated Man.
Oh, good, good. My name is Jewel Chandler, and I'm here in Atlanta, Georgia. And I have a mentoring program as well. And I was really interested in listening to what you're doing up there.
Well, can you hear the radio pod? Are you able to hear the radio pod?
No, I can't hear the radio or anything. All I hear is you. It's as if, I guess there's some type of technical difficulty and maybe it's not transmitting today. Do you happen to have Sandy's number?
Yes, yeah, she called me 5:05 our time and said that I had the right number. And that was a message from her.
Yeah. Try calling her phone number or texting her. I don't have her number or else I would do it.
If I do that, I'm going to have to cut. Okay. I'm going to.
Can you put it like on a conference number?
No, I'm actually on my cell phone.
Okay. Give me the number. I can call her on my home. Let me see if I have her number. I could try. No, I don't have her number. I could try calling her on my house phone and seeing if we can get a clue about what's going on.
Yeah. Your name is Jewel?
Yeah, Jewel Chandler.
And where are you, Jewel?
I'm here in Georgia, like she is.
Okay.
In Atlanta, Stone Mountain, Georgia.
Okay, and as you probably know, I'm in Los Angeles, California.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So why don't you do this? If you give me your number, I will call Sandy, and I'll call you right back.
Okay. All right. You ready?
Yes.
My number is 678.
Uh-huh.
595-7795. You can just call me back and let me know what's going on. I was just going to try to do that to find out what's going on. But you have to hang up the phone, I guess, is what you're saying.
Yeah, that's what I have to do. But I'll call you right back.
All right. Okay.
Can anyone hear me on the call? Can anyone hear me?
Yes.
For those that can hear me on the call, we have some technical difficulties. And I don't know if we're going to be able to work them out or not, but Sandy can't get on the call. So she's still trying. So,
I just said, for those on the call, we have some technical difficulties. He don't know if you can hear him or not. The bitch is trying to get it straightened out. He don't know if it's going to work. Okay? Okay.
Are those that are on the call right now?
Okay.
If you can hear me. Okay, well, good. Sandy is having some technical difficulties. She can't figure out what's going on, but she's going to do her best to resolve the problem. Okay. Who am I speaking with right now?
Well, you're speaking with Steve Bagby in Los Angeles. I'm a member of the Motivated Men and president of Dorsey High Alumni Association, which the Motivated Men primarily service. David Richardson, our esteemed president, was on earlier with Jewel Chandler, and I was just listening to them interface. But I think David was going to try to call Sandy and then call Jewel and get her on a conference line. I've just been holding forth, stuck on stupid. I called the number, and I've just been, I heard David asked for Sandy initially, but there's been no connection. I thought there would might be an actual interview via the blog already in progress.
No, I don't know. Can't quite figure out what's going on.
Okay. And what's your name?
William. I'm Sandy's brother.
Oh, okay, William. I'm Steve.
Yeah, Steve. But listen, let's go ahead. I do understand. I've gotten a few calls on my wife's line, so there are people that are still on the call. Why don't until you're expecting David maybe that he might come back on?
Well, I'm hoping, William, that he will. When he and Jewel Chandler, who's in Atlanta, were interfacing,
yes,
they came up with a plan because David had a direct line into Sandy. He
okay.
was going to try to call Sandy and then patch Jewel into that call. Meanwhile, I've just been staying on the original call from the jump. I called in at like 6 o'clock our time, 9 o'clock Eastern Standard Time, and I've just been hearing, you know, you do a good job of saying that there's technical difficulties and whatnot.
Well, listen, let's do this, Steve. Why don't you just for those that are still holding on, hanging on?
Okay.
Why don't you just go ahead and start the conversation? Let us know just what your organization does, the patients you're serving, some of your goals and objectives. And
okay.
I'm sure everyone will want to hear that. And if Dave's come on, we'll let him join the conversation as well, he and Jewel.
Yeah, I would be more than happy to let him take over in my stead. I'm parliamentarian of the organization, and
okay,
the president of the High School Alumni Association that the Motivated Men serve. But I'd be more than happy to stand down when David gets on the phone and let him carry the baton.
Okay, great.
Hey, this is Sandy. Can you guys hear me?
Yes,
I can, Sandy.
Yes, I can hear you, Sandy.
Okay, what I've done is I've actually called in on the guest line so that the host line is not working, and I just spoke with David and told him, you know, that I was having problems, but I had not thought to call in like this, you know, to call in on the guest line. So I was trying one more thing. So, and I'm sorry, your name was Carl, was it?
Oh, Steve.
Steve,
yeah,
okay.
I'm Steve Bagby, Sr., David's parliamentarian of the Motivated Men, and I'm president of the Dorsey High Alumni Association, which the Motivated Men serve.
Okay, great. Well, go right ahead. It seems like you guys had a conversation going, so I appreciate that.
Well, William has done a good job of jump-starting the conversation.
Go ahead and tell us, Steve, while Sandy's still
okay.
trying.
Well, the Motivated Men is a collaborative of men, predominantly African American men, within the Los Angeles community, for the most part, bordering around Susan Miller Dorsey High, which was founded in 1937, and basically. Our task or our vision is to basically produce good citizens that are deductive reasoners that aspire to go on to higher education, either college or the world of work or trade schools and the like. We do everything. Today was the first day of school in Los Angeles Unified School District. And so we had about 30 of our men in full effect. We have a special green cap that we wear that identifies us. We have staff IDs with our pictures on them. We have to get, TB tests and background checks and stuff to be motivated men to be interfacing with young people. And today was the first day of school, so we were there an hour before school start to greet the parents as they drop their kids off, to greet the kids on their first day of school, to help them get to their homeroom and just take some of the pressure off the administration, because like LAUSD, like most school districts, have been beset with massive budget cuts. And so what we do is we act as sounding boards, big brothers, if you will, for students to vent or share their problems. We do the cursory things, as simple as being hall monitors, making sure they get to class on time. You'd like to think it would be a normal day of operation. They'd get to class on time, but we enforce diplomatically the school rules, predominantly dress code. And we mentor, we tutor on Thursdays, and we have an afternoon of excellence generally in the month of May, where we give scholarships to male students that write the most exemplary essays. This year was, what are the challenges facing men of color in the 21st century in light of the open season on men of color, particularly black men, that has been pervasive at the hands of law enforcement nationally. And so that's in a nutshell basically what we do. That's a broad overview. We partner and interface with the business community. You don't have to be a Dorsey alum to be a member of the Motivated Men. Mr. Richardson, who is our president, is from Compton High School. We went to college together and became friends. I have friends that went to rival high schools in their high school days that live in the community now, that can get to the school even faster than I can. And we're committed to the quality of life for young men in any way that we can.
Yeah, that's all. I'm wondering, how long have you all been in operation?
We've been in operation for about 7 years now. A gentleman named Douglas Brown, who was athletic director at Susan Miller Dorsey High School, it was his vision. He organized it. Then he left and went to one of the feeder middle schools. And now he's principal at Centennial High School out in Compton, California, and we're amenable to help him replicate the Motivated Men at his respective school if he so chooses.
Have you noticed any of the young men coming back and
because I want to eat both bacon.
Coming back to serve with the organization at that process start?
Well, yeah, because of the shortness in time that we had our fourth annual scholarship essay afternoon of excellence program in on May 30th of this year. We have been blessed to get fellows to come back. Raheem Moore, professional football player, I think he's been with the Denver Broncos and some of the gentlemen that we have mentored that have gone on to success have indeed come back and mirrored their experiences and have given back to the community. So we're all about each one, teach one, or reach one, and we're hoping that those numbers will, multiply in the and the years to come.
Okay, great. That's awesome. Well, what about any of the other high schools in the Los Angeles Unified School District? Is the process being replicated?
Right now, the Motivated Men is solely at Susan Miller Dorsey High School, and we're amenable to replicating ourselves at other schools. But to be very frank, what we're primarily in the process of doing, working with the Alumni Association, is starting to replicate ourselves at the respective feeder schools for Dorsey High School, with the understanding that if you reach them young enough, the transition to high school will be that much easier, and you'll get a more literate, focused student. You know, if a student is not reading at grade level by third grade, short of serious remediation and tutoring, they'll always fall behind. And so we're hoping to replicate the Motivated Men initially at the respective feeder schools for Dorsey High, but we're more amenable to interface with any other school that would like to implement such a program. Now, Douglas Brown, who is now principal at Centennial High School, in so much as straight out of Compton is a big deal. Centennial High School is one of three high schools in Compton, California. You have Centennial High, you have Compton High School, and you have Dominguez High. And we're at the ready to help our founder, who started Motivated Men at Dorsey High before he ascended to higher positions within the food chain in terms of education. We're more than amenable to go out to Compton and help replicate what we have at Dorsey at Centennial High School, if the founder is amenable.
That's awesome. I know I'm a graduate of Jordan High School over in Watts myself.
Yeah, that's my father's alma mater. Yeah,
that's right.
My father graduated in 1938 from Jordan High, the Bulldogs.
Yeah, I graduated in 1966. You know,
okay. Well, we spanked you the year before. We played you the football season of 64. I graduated in 65.
Okay.
And we went over there and put in work on you guys.
You know, it's interesting. I was just thinking what you're saying. That's a real problem, you know, that if a student doesn't it's not prepared when they get to high school, it's very difficult playing catch up.
Absolutely.
And you know, I was a pretty good student going through school, because of the problems, I'm sure that we all the inner school cities have experienced over the years, and in the inner city. Although I fared pretty good as a student, we were still behind, you know, and I was in the AE class, the academically enriched classes, but we were still behind. And I can remember Dr. George McKenna, who of course who's on the school board there now.
Yeah, he represents District 1 in LAUSD school board. Yes.
He was, in fact, my math teacher over at Jordan High School.
Okay.
Yes, and he used to often say that, you know, he wished that we were better prepared. When he got us, he could have done so much more to get us even more prepared for college.
Absolutely.
And I was a math major, but when I got to college, even though I was making almost straight A's through Jordan High School, we had some excellent teachers there.
Okay.
But catch up was almost impossible, you know, so what you're doing is admirable. It's so needed, and I certainly hope that process does replicate where you can bag down all the way into preschool, actually.
Absolutely. You know, there was a very prominent junior high school called Fauché Junior High. It was a feeder school for manual arts. And
yeah.
Fauché is no longer Fauché Junior High or Fauché Middle School. It's Fauché Learning Center, William.
Oh.
And it goes pre-K through through 12, and they have like a college acceptance rate somewhere about 78%.
Wow.
And if students don't test out well, they're not invited back. It has many of the dynamics, if you will, of a charter school, which is becoming more and more popular in California, where public schools are being taken over by private educational entities, and getting the ADA average daily attendance money from the district and or private monies. There is a rich billionaire named Eli Broad, who is basically sponsoring a charter school movement called Green Dot, and they took over Lock High and broke Lock High down into four different schools. And it has not been a silver bullet by any means. The test scores and exit exam scores and stuff have not gone up appreciably. And what they're trying to do now is get the middle school the middle schools that feed into to Allen Locke High School. And my thing is, as I've sat on the former superintendent's Blue Ribbon Committee for Public School Choice, evaluating the various proposals that have come up, and my position has been, if they're really that concerned about the demographics of that area, why don't they start at the elementary school level versus middle school?
I have a deep concern about the education of inner city children, especially African American children, but all inner city children in general, in the whole educational system in America. But I have a special interest and love for again inner city and African American city youth, because our circumstances are unique.
Absolutely.
And you know, I have this desire, strong desire, that parents start realizing that the education of their children is not the responsibility of the school, be it public school or a private school or a charter school. The responsibility for education for their children is the parents' responsibility, number one. And when if that ever catches on in our communities and parents start teaching their child from birth to love learning and start teaching them the best they can, whatever tools they have to work with, start teaching them how to read and how to count before they get to school, and give that kind of support throughout the school experience, our communities would just be transformed almost overnight.
I agree wholeheartedly.
Yes.
By the way, just as a point of information, our esteemed president, David Richardson, called me on my cell phone saying that he's been trying to get through and he's going to try to call in yet again a second time. So hopefully he will get through and you can interface with him as well.
Okay, great. We would love it. Love it.
And I'll be here. He's back on right now. So
okay, great.
Yeah. Hey, David, Sandy, you there?
Yeah, I'm here, Sandy.
Well, thank you. What I did to get in was to call in on the guest number, so I'm not able to play music and do any of the other little things that I would do as the host. But my brother William has been talking with Steve, and they have been having a wonderful conversation. So I'm going to let William continue because I was not on for the full discussion. And let, if you don't mind, William, and just let it keep flowing like that.
Okay, great. Okay. David, love your input. What do you think is the biggest contribution that I mean, I love what you're doing, but it's, sometimes the leader has a broader vision, and because the leader has responsibility to think deeper and longer and further and more. Sometimes you might even stay up late nights thinking about what needs to happen in the organization. What do you see as the long-range ultimate goal? You know, what would you like to see the result of the work that you're doing right now? What would you like to see, like, 10, maybe 20 years from now, and in terms of the impact that you could have on the students that you're interfacing with?
Well, I'm sure Steve has mentioned it. What I would like to see happen is the culture of the young men going to school. I'd like to see that change as far as their attitudes towards education, their respect toward the educational system, and their respect toward each other. Now, if I had to put it in a nutshell, that's what these little steps, I hope, are leading us up to. And the other thing, which is, I'm sure Steve has mentioned, I want to see these same young men that we mentor come back to the community and help the young men in the community as they get older.
Yes, I love it. You know, Sandy and I were involved. I mentioned to Steve a few moments ago, but of course, we both were graduates from Jordan High School.
And David coached football at Jordan, William.
Oh, awesome.
I started to just give David the background or story on you, but David has been a football coach at David Starr Jordan High School.
Great. We had a commitment, so I love what you're saying and the vision that you have, but we had a commitment, Sandy and I, along with a whole host of other people that may be on the call right now, that went to Jordan High School, went to Markham and for junior high, and from junior high school all the way through high school, we were involved in an organization that we called the Student Committee for Improvement in Watts. And our dream and our aspiration and our vision was to go away to college and to prepare ourselves and then to come back to the community to continue the work of building the community. As God would have it, I'm in Atlanta now, Sandy's in Atlanta, we're kind of spread out around the country. But what we learned I'm reminded of a song from back in the day that says, "The world is a ghetto," so I realized that the contribution coming back to the community, no matter where a person might end up geographically, that notion is so important to instill that in the hearts and minds of the young people that you're working with, and so they feel a sense of obligation to continue the journey. Some people call it a struggle. I think we're past the struggle now. It's a journey for us toward more excellence, toward more contribution, toward us taking a place at the table of brotherhood, as it was called by some of our leaders in the past. So I really, my hat is off to the work that you're doing. And I'd like to ask you, what motivated you, David, to step up and take a leadership role? I know it carries a lot of responsibility and time away from your family, and on and on. What pushes you? What pushes you? What motivates? What keeps you going?
Actually, to support guys like Steve, and to know that there are other men like myself who share this vision. That's number one. But the thing that really keeps me going is that every year we see it went from one young man to two young men to three young men that recognize the importance of what we're trying to do and that began to have a growth to them. You know, we pick them up in the ninth or 10th grade, and by the time they go through our program and they're in the 10th grade, it's just a feeling of gratitude to see where they were in the ninth and where they are as young men in the 12th grade. Some of them really get it. I mean, they understand why we're there. They lean on us. They trust us. And for them to get it and move on in their life really keeps me going. You know, and I'm sure Steve has already mentioned, you know, it's not about us anymore. You know, whatever we are going to really do in life, we've pretty much done. It's about being able to give back to these young men. And if we don't do it, nobody's going to do it. That's the thing that brothers across this country must understand. We can't wait on the politicians. We can't wait on the school teachers. In some cases, we can't wait on the parents. It's up to us to step up and take our place in what we can do to enforce these young men's lives. And that's what we do.
That's awesome.
Know, William, if I may jump in, one of
go ahead.
I would say one of our biggest attributes is we are very prone to interface with other stakeholder groups within the community, our community and others. Using your alma mater, Jordan High, as an example, there is, I believe it's 98th Street Elementary School, that has a program that is very cutting edge. The principal there has ascended from elementary, and I believe she is at Jordan now. I think her last name is Jackson, but what this woman did, she instituted a program called Donuts with Dads. And the motivated men have gone out to Watts and participated in that. And what she had the vision of doing, with the help of the Los Angeles Police Department and the respective 77 divisions and the various police departments that service that area, she gets a community. She has guys that have become very accomplished, not to the level of Stan Sanders, who is probably the poster boy for Jordan High, having become a Rhodes Scholar. But she has gotten some of guys that have come back to their elementary school, having been accomplished, UCLA graduates in particular, and they have donuts as men in the cafeteria, and then they go to various classrooms and read for the students and encourage literacy amongst the students. And that's been very, very effective, and their test scores have increased appreciably to the point that she was jettisoned to the high school level from elementary without, you know, even interfacing administratively on a middle school level. And those are the kind of things that when the motivated men hear of a program like that, that is a win-win situation, we avail ourselves as best we can to facilitate programs like that, Donuts for Dads. And they're supposed to be coming up with a female counterpart of Donuts for Dads, as we hope to get women mentors to do a female counterpart for our female population at Dorsey.
You know, and that's so important. You know, of course, we don't want our beautiful sisters left out, and I certainly hope that it does spill over. You know, but the young men, the boys, there's something happening I know you all hear.
Well, they're endangered species and they're at risk.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
I should tell you, when we started doing our scholarship program, it was for girls and boys. And I would be remiss if I didn't say that the girls' essays were superior to the boys.
Yeah.
Girls mature faster than boys and stuff like that. And then we took a look at it as an organization, and we said, you know, our vision statement speaks to empowering males. And with all due respect to the females, we need to just zero in and give all our energy to the male population, and then try to become like a catalyst for a female counterpart equivalent to emerge to take care of the girls' needs. But I should tell you, the majority of scholarships from our first scholarship essay program was run by girls.
Yeah, that's awesome. And David, let me ask you, how important is the emotional part of this in terms of mentoring and reaching out to these young men? You know, men have a problem too often, especially African-American men, of openly expressing, you know, love and care and emotion to other men. Even sometimes from fathers to sons. But how important is that emotional component where these youngsters know that men care about them, men love them? What's your take on that?
It's I'm gonna say two things. One is that one of the things I see is that our young men are endangered species and don't realize it. See, they're so hung up on these other things, they don't really realize the vulnerable situation they're in. And in our situation at Dorsey, and this is something else that keeps me there, a large number of these young men are being raised by grandmothers, aunts, sisters, and single mothers.
And foster care.
And foster care. Thank you, Steve. And they just don't, unless they're with us, get an opportunity. I've had a young man walk up to me and say, you know, I'm glad you're here because I never get a chance to talk to a man. Well,
wow.
That really kind of shook my foundation. But it is difficult for them to get them to understand, I think, a man's love because it's so twisted in our community. You know, and find whether it's a father. When we grew up, we had uncles and cousins and next door neighbors who really loved us and treated us as young men, man to man. They don't get that these days. They just don't get it. And it's taking, and has taken, its toll on the roots of our community for young men. It has.
Yes, I know it has. Well, this is awesome. Sandy, you want to chime in? I know you have some questions that you would like to raise.
Well, yes, I do know that you and Steve have really kind of covered some of the questions that I was going to ask of David and his organization. But I did want to know, for those that are on the phone that are considering starting their own programs in their respective communities, how did the idea of mentoring manifest into Motivated Men? And then what activities did you engage in initially and build up to, and what advice would you give anyone that's interested in doing a similar program?
Go ahead, Steve.
Well, in all candor, the organization started, as I alluded to, our founder and former athletic director, Douglas Brown, as a support system to be as visible on campus as possible and to give male students a sense of support. And we started out just being like hall monitors and sounding boards and encouraging them to get to class on time, encouraging them to comply with dress codes and school rules, no electronic stuff in their ears, only Dorsey headgear. We'll say as recently as today, it was the first day of school, please remove that hoodie that's against school rules, or please remove that non-Dorsey cap. And it was just a matter of just trying to get some change in culture in terms of just that kids would respect themselves and respect others. Sometimes a kid will get in your face and say, why are you in my grill? What difference does it make what cap that I'm wearing, you know? And it's like, well, listen, before you were even probably born, we had problems at our school where one group gang was maybe wearing like Raider caps and another gang was wearing Atlanta Falcon caps and stuff like that, and it fostered animus and gang tension. So if everybody wears the same cap, it's a neutral, kind of like peaceful situation, and that's why only school caps or headgear are allowed on campus. And the same situation with hoodies. You know, when a student is wearing a hoodie, if he or she were to do something deviant, if all you're looking at is a hoodie from behind, you wouldn't be able to identify that student. Or if they were getting abused or was on the butt of bullying or something like that, you wouldn't be able to identify exactly who that was. So there are reasons in place that there are school rules. And one of the things that the Motivated Men have been doing is we do everything, I left this out earlier, we do classroom monitoring. We go into various classrooms and evaluate the quality of education that is being dispensed by various teachers. Are they engaging the student? Do they have a warm-up progress? Do they have a syllabus? Are they staying, is their instruction correlating with state standards that's going to end up testing the kid to see where he or she fits in within LAUSD and the state overall? And so we have evolved into mentoring because David and myself started working with real at-risk ninth graders that had like three or more D's or F's. And then when we started seeing that we were working at dealing with these at-risk students, it was like, well, perhaps we need to put more emphasis on tutoring, and that led to a mentoring program. And now we have our own, we have a classroom called K-9, which is almost like a play on words where the dog's at. But that's where we get the kids, and now we've gotten buy-in from the athletic department and the respective coaches that value what we're doing. And, you know, I don't have to tell you that many times the student athletes, the athletes are the big men on campus, and some of them are not as academically proficient as they might be, but when they come to us and get polished up and get a little more focused on their study time and emphasis on education, then they tend to like carry over and impact the student body overall.
One thing I can say, Sandy, is the first thing to get a program like this started is you need a core, whether it's 4, 5, or 6 of committed men to make this happen. I was just talking to your friend, Jill Chandler, and she apparently has something that she's trying to start called Guns Down because her nephew was killed. And she said her major problem is getting, you know, the guys are interested, but she can't get them committed. And then we are in a very unique position with our program because we are actually on a campus. I mean, you know, we've all been vetted by the police department, and we have that central location on campus where we can stay in contact with the young man every day of the week. So that would be my suggestion, is get that core and have that core make a commitment and start with something small and work for something big. You got to start somewhere.
So was it difficult to get that working relationship started with the school?
Steve hit it on the head. We started just being there, you know, just being on campus, helping them with campus sweeps, making sure that we had high profile so that both the teachers and the students knew that we were there. And we just kind of worked our way up. That's what we started doing. Just go there during lunch and tell people to take their hoodie off for us. Don't use that kind of language. And then we just leave.
And in all candor, we were the beneficiary of a new hire, a new principal who was a young PhD. And so we availed ourselves to him as a support system, and he was young enough to appreciate. He was coming in, never had administrative experience in a high school setting. He was an assistant principal at a middle school. So he welcomed us with open arms and appreciated we positioned ourselves as a support system for him. And so that really helped us really get in. Now, whether or not the teachers in mass with, you know, union dynamics and politics notwithstanding, it's been a gradual thing to get the teachers to enforce basic like dress codes in the classroom, because if we ask the student to remove his hoodie or his non-Dorsey cap on the on the campus, and he goes into the classroom and puts it on because he thinks it's, powerful or swag or whatever, and the student allows him to sit up there after the motivated man has just asked him to remove it. Now you have a disconnect. You don't have the continuity that you need. And so we've done the due diligence at the beginning of every semester. We will sit down with the faculty and give our aspiration of what we're trying to do, help us help you help them, kind of like thing. And so now it's gotten to the point where we have taken the initiative to get the school rules printed up large, laminated, and they're going to be in every classroom. So if a teacher is intimidated by a student and is a little apprehensive to say, please remove your hoodie, Steve, you could say, well, Mr. Bagby, rule number 3 says no hoodies allowed on campus or no electronic gear. And so it takes the teacher out of that mix of confrontation or being adversarial. And then we will come in periodically and do classroom observation and monitoring and see if, in fact, the teachers are, in fact, doing their due diligence enforcing the school rules. And we will not bother them, but we fill out a dossier or a report on if Mr. Richardson had 3 students that had hoodies on and non-Dorsey caps, then we end up given the principal reports on the various teachers and their good points or their lack of compliance. And when they come up for a raise, a job review, a evaluation, then they have stuff in their personnel folder that the union doesn't really have any leverage dealing with when you have community volunteer stakeholders that are coming in on their own time, not being paid, to just monitor the quality of education that's being dispensed and whether or not there's a correlation with them applying basic school rules. So it's a work in progress. It's an ongoing thing, and we evolved to that. We evolved. We have one of our men, a motivated man, is an administrator, and we would be exasperated. You tell the kid to remove his hood, he gets around the corner, you see him across campus, he got the hood back on, and stuff like that. And it was brought to our attention, if the teachers were enforcing it in the classroom, that would make great steps to get continuity.
Now, Sandy, you guys have a webpage?
No, I don't think we've given that out yet, no.
Okay, I'll give it to you.
You want to go ahead and share that?
Yeah, okay. Just go to www.motivatedmen, all one word, .org. And it's just about finished, but it has our vision statement on it. Everything is on there. You can see what our activities have been, what I would like to do at some point. We get this, your radio blog. We can even include that, the events that are coming up. Take a look at the webpage. And we'll answer.
Yeah, I did. It's a great website, and it shows like your interaction with your children and you know the whole group. And I actually have those pictures that were posted on the website. I had them as part of the promo for the show tonight. And I just want to take the time to say again, I want to thank my brother William and Steve and David, and for all of you that hung in there with all of the audio issues, the technical issues that we've experienced tonight. I'm not sure exactly what was the culprit of the issues. I know I've not experienced that before. And so I didn't hear all of the conversation that was going on between William and Steve. David and I have been talking and going back and forth and on, exactly what we want to get across. Now, I know that Steve, you spoke some about the expansion ideas you had about going into the the earlier schools, like the middle school and the elementary school prior to.
Yes, it's and you know, in the business world, it would be called synergy. In the realm of education, they call it articulation. When you forge a relationship between, say, the high school and the respective feeder schools, i.e., middle school and elementaries, and I would like to say, I would like David, before this interview ends, is to give our webpage address one more time, because for those aspiring organizations or groups that are trying to do anything similar that we're doing, nothing is worse than reinventing the wheel. And, you know, we've put in a lot of time and energy and hours to get to the point where we are, and we would like to be a catalyst to help somebody else with a similar vision accomplish what we've accomplished at warp speed. And going to our website is a good start to be able to, like, put those pieces together versus starting from scratch and going through the trial and error that we had to do just in general growing pains.
Yeah. And Sandy, you can use that. You can put that out to your general population if you want. And you can even include, because I'm like Steve, you can include my phone number if there are any questions about it. And because it's you, any way that that I could help, I'll be more than happy to do. And if I can, I'll get somebody like Steve or someone else in the organization to step up and help this thing get started.
Okay, so let me just repeat it, the information. So that was www.motivated, M-O-T-I-V-A-T-E-D, men.org. David Richardson's phone number is 323-273-0733. Again,
yes,
that's 323-273-0733. You can get in contact with David. He's the current president of Motivated Men in Los Angeles, that's working out of Susan Miller Dorsey High School. That website, just one more time for you, is www.motivatedmen.org. And I appreciate your willingness and willfulness in the work that you're doing. We understand that that the lives of our young people are so important that we give them the support and that they need in order to be successful and to even hope and dream of a future. I know my son will be 40 this year, and when he was coming through high school in Paramount and Los Angeles and in Linwood area, that the young men, they had little expectations to live past 20. And if they made it to 25, they thought they were really living high and, you know, had been blessed or were extremely lucky. And so for you gentlemen, Steve and David, to be taking this time with our future, with our leaders of tomorrow, and to embrace them and to love them and to give them some type of hope and purpose for living, I just applaud you in what you're doing. I know it's not always easy, and like you say, you know, you you tell the kids to do one thing here, and then they go around the corner and they're changing it, but you're sticking to it, and I just applaud you for the work that you do. I mean, it's exceptional, and that was the reason why I wanted you on the show. I met David at Pan's Restaurant, going over to have a breakfast with my sister-in-law, Brenda, before I got on the road, and he sat next to me, and we just started talking. I was so impressed with his passion for the work that he's doing and with the young men that he has had the opportunity to work with. So, David, you had also said that there may in your expansion, there may come a time where you would include young girls, but girls in that program as well.
Yeah, but what we're willing to do is support an organization there on campus that would work with the young ladies as we do with the young men. But again, you have the same issue. We need to get that group together. They need to make a commitment. But we have been saying for 3 years, we're willing to support those efforts. Because I will say this, the young ladies need it as bad as the young men.
Yes.
Yeah.
Now, Sandy, you touched on something that was very important, alluding to when you met David. The restaurant that you alluded to, Pan's, P-A-N-N apostrophe S, which goes back to the 50s, some of their, architecture and decor, smack of the 50s. But as community partners go, they're in the Dare area. They're really closer to Englewood Unified School District than they are LAUSD per se. And they've been a phenomenal sponsor. They've stepped up and provided us resources for a raffle tickets to underwrite many of the activities that we do. And so we're all about, patronizing those that patronize you. And I would say to those aspiring organizations that are trying to do something that's pro-community, take advantage of the loyalty that you have garnered through patronizing businesses. When you go to the cleaners, the bank, or wherever you do business, don't feel embarrassed or don't feel guilty about going to them, asking them to invest and what you're trying to do to improve the community. And that Pan's restaurant has just done an exemplary job of community partnering. And we have given them, we have plaques and certificates in that restaurant from the Motivated Men, just expressing our appreciation for the kind of lengths they've gone to support us.
Awesome. That's wonderful to hear. I didn't realize their support and their history with your organization, but that is absolutely fabulous right there.
They gave us a scholarship this year. They gave us $500 scholarship.
Wow.
Yeah.
And that's the kind of support you need to talk about too, and I'm sure that you do.
Into that restaurant and ask to speak to the manager, right? And just say, hey, listen, we want to thank you for the admirable job you've been doing supporting us and stuff like that. And it just fuels them and lets them know that their resources and their commitment is not being squandered, that it's being appreciated and it's being used. And so they're always there for us when we come back. We don't overdo it, but I'm saying that is not a black-owned business. They have black employees there and all of that, but they do a better job than some of the African-American businesses that we patronize and ask for support from. And so when people, irrespective of the ethnicity or whatever of the business, when they step up for the best interests of the kids, they deserve support and acknowledgement.
And I appreciate you saying that, Steve, because a lot of times we stop short of asking for the support that we need in whatever venture that we're looking to go into because we don't know, that it's not a hard process. You just go in and ask for what it is that you need. And so I really do appreciate you saying that because it sounds like it's not hard. You just appreciate them for who they are, what they are, what they do, and for their continued support of your organization.
And when we were growing our organization, we would go into businesses just at random in the immediate vicinity of Dorsey High School and ask vendors or business persons to put signs in their window or on their counter saying that we were launching such an organization and that we were looking for, to coin the U.S. Marines mantra, a few good men. And, and they would do that. And when we had fundraisers one time we embraced a fundraiser that included games and academic rigor, and we posted that all the businesses within the community, so the community would know. So sometimes parents would say, well, Jamal, why didn't you tell me about this? Are you in? Are you enrolled in this program, or have you signed up for the SA to get a scholarship? Lord knows these parents need help financing college for their kids these days, and we have gone the extra length of starting to call the parents when we get, like, candidates to write essays. We will call the parents, like, during Christmas vacation, so the student is just not lounging around and just thinking all holiday, but let him start focusing on how he can come up or compose the best possible, like, essay, and get the parents' buy-in to urge them or nudge them around. Instead, sometimes parents don't even know what the kids do. Sometimes they don't know what the dress codes are. So it's a process, and it's not a silver bullet. And it takes patience and tenacity, but we're committed. We're blessed to have a core group of motivated men that feel the same way. And, you know, if everybody does a little, no one has to do a lot. And David does a lot. David's role has been reduced because one point in time he was trying to do it all. And now we've gotten buy-in with good members that have expertise or experience in certain areas where we could diversify and spread the labor.
Well, I tell you, he told me about it, the organization, when I first met him. You know, I've only met him once, and we broke bread together at Pans, and so and his commitment to the organization and the mission was just evident in everything that he did and said. So that got me interested in, you know, the work that you're doing, and if that same energy level could be spread, you know, like over the radio airs to waves to people that would be calling in. And I know there were several people that were very interested in starting and learning more about doing a mentoring program in their respective communities. So, again, I appreciate your taking the time and working through this technical issues. We didn't get a chance to take a break, but I'm so thankful to both of you and my brother as well, for coming in and just making this thing work. This is how we do life, you know. We support each other till the end.
Hey, Sandy,
I'm going to say one more thing that's very important. In our mentoring program, we have a three-way contract that must be signed before the kid can be in the program. And this is to follow up on what Steve said. The parent has to sign a contract, the student has to sign a contract, and the mentor signs a contract.
Okay.
You follow what I'm saying?
So
get it, everybody involved.
So everybody has to be accountable.
Everybody's accountable.
Excellent. And so anyone that would be interested in starting a program, they would be able to talk with you or go through the website and get additional information as to what forms and like you would guide them along the road to get to being as successful and to get them through those initial stages, correct?
I'll send them copies of they're simple contracts, but once everybody signs it, it becomes an important part of the success of the mentoring program.
Sure.
But to answer your question, Sandy, absolutely. I mean, we're doing the best we can. We've made some great strides, and we have a lot of strides to make. So, you know, we're a work in progress. So it's very conceivable that somebody who's aspiring to replicate or do something similar may have some cutting edge insightful ideas that we can grow from. So we're all about like interfacing and exchanging information, because we might get somebody who has their own idea or their own like angle of to attack this program that can enhance the motivated men and help take us to the next level. So it's all about give and take.
Right, exactly. That's the whole thing, you know, walking hand in hand. So I'm going to give the website and the contact information one more time. I did hear William wanted to make a statement, so let me just do this. So that the website, one more time, is Motivated Men, MOTIVATED Men, MEN.org.
And all one word, yeah.
David, one word. You may call David Richardson on his number of 323-273-0733 if you want to talk with him directly. And William, you had something, a statement you wanted to make?
Yes. First, I love these brothers. I love the work they're doing. Any kind of support that I can lend, you know, I'm available. You might see that same type of program they have there being replicated right here in Atlanta. One thing that I just like to put out there, maybe we can have another show, Sandy.
Yes, definitely.
Yes. I would love to see us give some attention with these brothers, these men that have a vested stake in the lives of the future of our community. To as we envision what the future might hold, you know, kind of taking responsibility for the direction of education in America, and start really putting some solid ideas and plans, projection out there, you know, where we are not just preparing our children to go and be an employee for somebody else. That's okay, but that's not the end in it all. But rather, if we had, and we were preparing them to think, be thinkers, preparing them to be innovators, preparing them to actually be entrepreneurs, socialpreneurs, where we begin to prepare especially our young men, the leaders, prepare them even more and more so as we envision our future. We can have that discussion, you know, where is our education going to go from here as we work with these children, supporting them right. Also, we're supporting the educational system, and we can take responsibility for its direction in this future.
Well, you know, in the spirit of God is good all the time, let's do this. Why don't you guys get my cell phone number from David at the close of this blog? I'm going to be in Atlanta on Thursday. My sister B. Smith is being honored by the Ebony Fashion Fair alumni, and I'm going to be at the Sheraton Galleria, and I would like nothing better than to maybe break bread with you guys. You could put a face with the voice, and we could I'm not going to be doing that industry stuff all the time, and I'd be happy to meet you guys personally if you're so inclined.
Oh, yeah.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Absolutely.
So if you'll get my cell phone number and email address from David once the blog closes, I'll be happy to interface with you guys when I get down there on Thursday. I'm staying at the Sheraton Galleria on some street.
Oh, that's over here by me.
Okay, good.
I'll check. Right. I'll email it to you, Sandy.
Okay, that'll be perfect.
Okay.
Okay, and again, thank you.
It was our pleasure.
Yes, oh my God. But we will get this, the technical audio thing worked out, and I will bring you back on so that we can make it be a very clear show. And who's to say, you know, what good news you may have to share with us at a future date?
That'll be great.
Okay, wonderful.
Thank you so much. Stay blessed.
Thank you both.
Sure.
Thank you, William.
Okay.
Sure. Bye.
Thank you, William. Bye-bye.
Sure. Take care.